This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
Stephen Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Happy hump day, people. Happy hump day.
This fish is stinking from the head up.
Thank you, Priest. Thank you, Tim Hardaway. And thank you to all you listeners out there at 888-957-9570. Let's get right into it. We're halfway home. Anthony Slater joining us at 8:30. Covers the team, the Golden State Warriors, that is, for The Athletic. It is our 95.7 The Game Warriors Insider as the Warriors fall 112-86 out in South Beach in Miami. Jimmy Butler returning for the first time. And the Warriors stink up the place. There was a lot of emotions baked into everything. There was a lot of talking and chirping. There was a lot heading into that game. And the only team that ended up looking like they wanted to play in that one and was up for it was the team in white, in the Miami Vice. That looked so clean, by the way. God, I love those jerseys. They showed up. A team that had just lost 10 in a row, by the way, the Miami Heat. Yeah, they just won a game against the Hornets, and Andrew Wiggins had 42 points. Great. Prior to that, they had lost 10 in a row, Joe Shasky. This Warriors team, with Jimmy Butler playing, they don't lose. Well, they've started to lose recently. They've lost three of their last five, and on this road trip, they've lost now to the Atlanta Hawks, who are no exactly world beaters. They got 40 in the first quarter there in Atlanta. Okay, you know, yeah, your dream, as Steve Kerr said, yeah, you halfway across the country, yeah. The Hawks have had a couple days to rest. Recipe for disaster, no Steph Curry. All right, sure. You want to use that as an excuse? I'm not buying it, but if you want to use that as an excuse, sure. No excuses heading into yesterday's game at all for me. Not with Jimmy Butler, not with Draymond Green, who, again, both of those guys, the leaders of this team without Stephen Curry being there, who was on the sidelines, they did not step up when he needed to. I needed the alpha amongst alphas and Jimmy Butler, and he did not come up that. He came up small, he came up short, and the entire team fed off that, and it was very disappointing. Good morning, Joe.
Just an awful game. It's an absolutely awful game, and it just, the effort level was just pathetic, and my big dogs, Jimmy, Draymond, they just played terrible. But there's another element to this. Like, I'm a big believer in, like, whoever is your primary ball handler, your trigger man, if you will, whether it's the offensive conductor. Some guys are pass-first guys. Some guys are shoot-first guys. Whoever has the ball in their hand the most, your team's going to take on that team's identity, like that player's identity. That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Okay?
And to your point, Jimmy Butler, Miami Heat era. There you go.
And yesterday, Jimmy was too passive to me.
Why is that? Real quick, why haven't we seen... It may be as simple because Steph Curry's there. Why haven't we seen at all the Jimmy Butler that we saw in Miami in Golden State? I feel like we haven't seen that at all.
No, I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know.
Like, and I get it. There's a lot of
Steph's team and there's this and that. But with Steph out, and this is where I'm going with this. Like,
that's exactly.
With Steph out, like, no, Jimmy needs to be at the forefront. But I swear to you, but from the watching of the games and listening to the coach, I think he wants it to be Podzis.
Oh.
No, I'm dead serious on this. Look at the guy played 2,000 minutes last year.
He cannot want this team to be Brandon Pajemski's team if Steph's not in there. Like, what do you look now,
Joe? Let me ask you. Let me ask you this. He's played on this team currently. There are other guys that they traded away in terms of overall minutes. Curry overall minutes played. Curry, Draymond, Buddy, Brandon. And Brandon missed like 14, 15 games, okay? He's got the fourth most shot attempts, right behind, you know, guys have been traded with third most shot attempts, excuse me, Steph, Buddy Hield, and then boom, Brandon Pajemski. He's got the ball in his hands the entire time. I'm just saying, the coach and the team has put too much on this young man's plate. He's a backup point guard, and we are treating him like he's a forefront player, and they have taken on his personality. You know why he's got that many shots? Because the league is saying, I dare you to shoot. He's not good enough. I have like a running joke. You know why you're always open? It's because you're the one they want shooting, because you're not that good.
I mean, you just said the thing that I think about this, like this team, like making a deep playoff run, they're just not good enough. I just don't think they are good enough outside of Stephen Curry as a scoring team. Like Stephen Curry is the greatest, one of the greatest scorers in the history. He is the greatest shooter in the history of the league. So when you're not going to have him, I understand it. That being said, and I've used the stat already, your offensive rating with Steph is in the top 10. It's the sixth overall, 117.3. Your offensive rating without him is dead last at 105.2. Like, it cannot be that Grand Canyon of a gap when he is not here.
But that
just can't be. And again, it goes back to coaching. You've said it ad nauseum. I understand. It goes back to having a Steph Curry-centric offense when he's there, but when he's not, shifting and being able to adjust and having a different style to run. I get all of that, and I get Brandon Pajemski. No. You know, he's trying to be in that Steph Curry role. He can't be, obviously. He cannot be in that role when Steph is not here. I understand
that. He works alongside Steph in the same way the GP2 thing works alongside Steph as a supplementary player. When you're asking that person to be a forefront player and to change the style of how your team plays, you're going to be left wanting more. And this isn't like a me crushing Pajemski. I just question why they believe in him so much when all the data tells us he shoots the same amount essentially as Jonathan Kuminga from three. Do I want Jonathan Kuminga getting wide open threes all game? No. Stop taking those threes. But it's the same thing for Pajemski. Yesterday was a great example of like, dog, you're open for a reason. Make the extra pass. And when you do get into the lane, take the floater. But stop shooting the three. And I want Jimmy to be more aggressive. I'm not trying to condemn the young players. I'm just saying, like, we spend all our time, the bulk of our time as Warrior fans, like, arguing, is Kuminga good enough? Is it quietly, Pajemski is running this team.
Well,
when Steph's not there, that's who's running this team. And I'm like, what are we doing? Timeout. Stop. Dre is here for a reason. Step up, Dre. Jimmy, you made the deal, and you're paying him $60 million to take over when Steph's not there. Why is Pajemski getting all the shots and all the touches?
I get
it.
What
are we doing?
It's nice when they're winning and you preach unselfish basketball, but in situations like yesterday, I needed Jimmy Butler to be a selfish individual.
And I just totally get all, agree.
And double. I don't want 5 of 12. Hell, give me 10 of 24. So, like, he needs to get those shots up and be aggressive and go, like, when's the last time Jimmy Butler just had one free throw attempt for Jimmy Butler when he's been living at the line for weeks on end? Jonathan Kuminga got to the line 9 times, 6 of 9, but he was getting there at least. He was driving to the rack. I didn't see that at all. Now, that goes back to size being a problem for this team. Going up against the sizes of the world, Bam Adebayo and Khalil Ware, this big seven-footer kid out of Indiana who was sick yesterday. Like, size and athleticism, we have spoken ad nauseum with this team. Not that Jimmy Butler is going to be a cure-all for that, because he is an older player. Mm-hmm. He does bring something to the physicality on the defensive end that you're going to need. But when I start thinking about matchups in the playoffs, again, 10 more games to go for this Golden State Warriors team in the regular season. They are the sixth spot in the West. They are a half game ahead of the Clippers, who, if the Clippers win tonight in New York City, they are going to be the sixth seed, and you are going to be the seventh seed, Golden State Warriors. Like, I start looking at some of these teams in the West that are going to give me fits, you know, physically, with size, with athleticism. Yeah, that was a team that just lost 10 games yesterday, Joe Shasky, the Miami Heat. If they're giving you fits, what do you think the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to do? And again, you might not be thinking that along the line, but there's 10 games to go here. I got to start thinking about all these things right now. And when there's question marks about the rotation still, I get it. Steph is going to come back. You can't win without your best player. I get that. But can you show up without him?
Joe,
can you just show up?
There's no way in hell that this team rolled into Miami and said, hey, our best recipe for winning is everyone's going to get sagged. They had to know that they were going to get sagged off in terms of defensively. They had to know. They could not come out of that game going, yeah, we need Pods shooting the most from the field.
There was a lot of wide open looks that they just clanked.
Why is he open?
Why is Draymond Green open? Why is Brandon Pajemski open?
Like, the defense is telling you who they're scared of.
Now, you need to hit those shots. Like, I'm not excusing that. Like, you need to hit some of those. And Draymond
but
has
it's
been.
It's also on you to be discerning to not take those shots. Like, and I watch Jimmy over and over pass it to Pods, and Pods is wide open. Pods is like, yeah, I'm going to take it. It's like, no, dog, don't take it. No, don't. No, don't take it.
Moses, 0 of 9 from beyond the arc yesterday. Just can't do that. We have full phone lines, Joe Shasky. Let's start hitting them.
I'm not trying to just jump on the young guys, but if we're going to spend weeks on end dissecting every dribble from Jonathan Kuminga, like, Moses Moody played awful yesterday. It was a terrible matchup against Wiggins. Wiggins took his lunch money, and that's okay. Look, Moody's been okay. I like Moody. I thought he turned the corner. Last couple games, coming back down to earth.
I thought there were some moments defensively for him on Wiggins when he forced the backcourt violations, like, but he was, but again,
you would agree, Wiggins got the better of him.
Yes, and
but
Wiggins is
Jimmy guarding him.
Yeah, you wanted to setting the tone there early on,
and then like GP2, love GP2. He brings a lot to the table when Steph's there. When Steph's not there, he's a different player, and that's not a knock on him. I like him; he's useful. But like, you got to understand who you are with the players you have on the floor. And I thought that Kerr ran the same stuff they do without Steph Curry out there, and it's like, no, run some sets.
And we are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Joe Shasky, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, of course, Laughing Monk righteously brewed here in San Francisco. And by the way, it is a Warriors Wednesday. Happy Hump Day. Brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliances in Pleasant Hill today. Let's go out to the guys that have been winning longest. We're going to go starting off with Dave in Fresno. Has some thoughts on last night's game.
What's up, Dave?
What's going on, man? You're on the morning roast.
So disappointed.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, and, you know, while I was on hold, you guys were kind of setting me up with my take. I think what the problem for the Warriors, if we're talking serious contender, and this is dating back a couple of years since they won the championship with Jordan Poole, you need to have multiple threats offensively, you know, and they just don't have that. And I know when they got Jimmy, that gave him a spark, but since he's been, he's been more of a glue guy than like a scoring option. He's been kind of like a Draymond Green, you know, getting free throws, assists, rebounds, which is fine. But in this day and age, you need to have multiple threats. And when we won that championship, most people didn't see coming. Say what you want about Jordan Poole, he was getting buckets. Mm-hmm. He was somebody
he
that
scored
could create,
20 a game,
right? Right, exactly. So right now, nobody can really create. I think outside of Steph, I would say maybe Kuminga, but I mean, obviously he doesn't do it consistently enough. And we're all frustrated because you think, okay, Jimmy, you're making 50 mil. That's supposed to be you, bro. Like, I don't know. I'm with you, Shasky. I just don't see it. We should not have to want it more than him. You should know you were brought here to release some of the, you know, the heavy lifting from Steph. And that's cool, you want to average 10 and 9, but, you know, we need more than that. They need a second score, and that's why people want a KD. Like, hey, say what you want. At least we know we're going to get 25 a game. And for the Warriors, it's just asking too much for a bunch of role players. For, hey, Pods, this night I need 20 from you. Hey, on Thursday, Kuminga, I need 20 from you. Hey, next week, Moody, I need 20 from you. That's just asking a lot.
I agree.
It's been a problem, not just this year. It's been a problem for a couple years, and I've called in multiple times and said, it doesn't matter how great Steph is, if you don't get a serious number two, a threat offensively, Draymond cannot be your quote unquote second highest paid player or best player. He's not a threat.
I agree.
Good call, Dave.
There are 3 points in the game where they look completely lost. Starting the game.
Yes.
The start of the second quarter.
5-0 like that.
And the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The common denominator was the GP2 Dre Butler combination. The Heat treated them like they were 3 non-shooters, and they said, we'll dare anyone else to beat us. We're going to pack the paint, and we're not going to let those guys do anything in the lane. The GP2, Dre, Butler combination. It is what it is. Like, start the game, clunk. Second quarter, you cut it to whatever it was, immediately goes back up to 12. Fourth quarter, you cut it to 8, immediately up to 17. It is what it is.
The starters combined at the half had 10 points. It's just in a game of that magnitude where everyone was talking about the revenge game for Jimmy Buckets and you came up that small. It really is embarrassing. Josh is in New Haven, wants to join in the conversation. We got Anthony Slater joining us in about 13 minutes. Slater was at the game. I want to ask him about the atmosphere in Miami. Josh, what's going on, man? You're on the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Shasky.
How are you guys doing? I guess we're all Knicks fans and Suns fans for the next few days. I'm wondering, like, what you guys think on, like, the new, like, lineup is going to be when Steph comes back. Because I think definitely, like, spacing is such a big issue with these lineups.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if you think, like, I think also the biggest problem yesterday that I saw was that, like, the lack of crashing on the glass, like the rebounding was such a big issue, I think. And I think that's been a big problem even with the Toronto game just because of size. So I'm thinking, like, you know, we bring back QP into that starting lineup, and, you know, Moody over Pods just because of scoring-wise. But, you know, I remember earlier in the year there was a whole narrative on Kuminga being a starter over Draymond just because of the sheer athleticism and the scoring punch that he delivers. And, you know, even Draymond was saying that, like, he's okay with, like, Kuminga being in the starting lineup and Draymond coming off the bench. And I just feel like it's the starting lineup, you know, that might not be the best defensively, but definitely, like, scoring-wise. Because I feel like before we were in such a rut hole where our defense led to our lack of scoring, but now it feels like our lack of scoring is leading to our defensive inefficiencies.
Yes. They're combined. The harder they work defensively, the less legs they have on offense. The harder they work offensively, the less legs they have on defense. They are so connected. He's 100%
always,
correct.
It always is. The offense and defense, we've talked about that, and I think that was something that was lost when the Warriors were clicking and winning, because obviously the offensive firepower, the offensive output was unmatched at the time, and maybe in the history of the sport we'll never see an offense like that. But it was the defense too that was getting it all started on the opposite end. It always feeds each other. It's complementary. Again, we like to say complementary football. Mm-hmm. It's complementary basketball.
Let me give you what my, like, hypothetical starting combinations would be.
Hypotheticals.
Steph, Butler, and yes, I'm starting Quentin Post.
Okay.
Here's where it gets a little tricky. If I go Dre, I might consider Buddy Hield and Moody. Those are the two. Moody, Buddy Hield. Like, depending on form and how we're looking.
I do think there's going to be scenarios, whether it's in a playoff series or a play-in, that Buddy does
That's
start.
What I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay? That would mean Pods off the bench. Okay?
Which is
Kuminga off the bench. I could also make an argument for Steph, Pods, Butler, Kuminga, QP, with Draymond off the bench, with Moody and Buddy Hield. And Dre is more my point forward off the bench.
Steph, Pods, QP scares the hell out of me defensively.
I don't like Pods and Draymond on the floor together. I don't like them together.
I don't like Steph and Pods together. Ugh, that the opposite end is just going to feast on them. Defensively, they're just going to get
picked
on.
That's why I've got Kuminga, Butler. I know. I get it.
When you added Quentin Post in there, too, it's like Quentin, who's been kind of exposed defensively as of late, and it's no fault of his own. The guy's been a pro for a couple months now, but he's going to get picked on, just like Pods has been getting picked on. And Steph, he's not going to get picked on, per se, but he is going to get attacked. He's going to get humbled a little bit, yeah.
The only reason I suggest Buddy Hield currently in any of these combinations, because I like him off
he's
the bench.
He's actually been giving me something defensively that those other guys are. Yeah.
You've been watching, he's kind of outplaying Moody lately. Just the last three or four games.
He had some good possessions on Hero yesterday. He made him work for it. Yeah.
I agree. And he's a guy that has to be honored on offense.
You know a guy who has to be honored and has been honored on the morning roast? It's the night of numbers. It's Alex in Atlanta.
What's up, Alex?
What's up, Alex? What you got, man?
You know, gentlemen, I appreciate you taking my call. I've been listening to the show all morning. I appreciate that you guys have started to take Steve Kerr to task about some of these things, not only in the Miami loss, but in the Atlanta loss, because I feel like everything you guys have touched on, whether it's bad rotations, whether it's players taking shots they shouldn't, whether it's players being too passive with the ball. Spadoni, you mentioned the fact that you don't understand why we're not seeing the Jimmy Butler from Miami now that he's with the Warriors. Well, I think it's that he's being coached up to be a bit more, you know, distributive with the ball. It's the same reason why you're seeing more of a scorer in Andrew Wiggins now that he's in Miami. He's being asked to play a different role, and it's a role that fits his strengths there. Butler's being asked to play a role that doesn't necessarily fit his strengths right now. And it's not like these have been problems just this season. These have been problems going back to last year where, Joe, you made this point, I think, on Monday, that you have a lot of guys on this team that are one-way players. They have, like, one level to their game. They don't have multifaceted aspects to their game, and that's something that your coaching staff is supposed to help you build up. You're supposed to help guys get better defensively. You're supposed to help guys be better with their shot selection. You're supposed to help veterans find a second level to their game now that their offense might be starting to decline or their defense is getting a little worse. And I haven't seen that all year from this Warriors coaching staff. I'm not just blaming Steve Kerr. I'm blaming everybody across the board on the coaching staff. And I will say, look, you have the highest paid coach in the league. At some point, you have to point the finger of blame in his direction. I don't think that gets done enough. I'm willing to give him his flowers when he does do a good job. But these last two losses, you have a team that just doesn't look like they were well prepared to play the opponent they were facing. You had starting lineups that just looked like they didn't like make sense at all.
Clunky.
And you had a bunch of players last night. You know, you had four shot clock violations in the first half. You had people on the floor who had no idea what their role was in that offense. No one knew who was supposed to shoot. No one knew who was supposed to pass. That all goes back to coaching.
It's a great call. That's Alex in Atlanta. And again, we'll give Steve Kerr his flowers when things are going right, but we'll question it when it's not going right. Right now, it's not going right. Three of the last five games, it's been bad, and it almost was bad for four of them. You eked out one over the Raptors. I know Steph got hurt early in that game, but you eked out a win there. If you had lost that, then the sky feels like it's really falling right now. It's not. You are 10 games over 500, but you're a half game up of the seventh spot right now. And again, Clippers win tonight. They're the sixth spot. You fall back to the seventh, and all of a sudden, you're playing from behind now, and you're not feeling very good. All of a sudden, I thought this, you know, this road trip, after going 6-1 of that homestand, Joe Shasky, Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, San Antonio. Oh, we can get fat and happy against them, right? Oh, it's a blessing in disguise. You know what? We can handle these teams without Steph Curry. No, you can't. It's kind of been a reality check in a bad way the last couple games for, I think, a lot of fans. It's like, you know, we're not good enough to sit back and smell the roses right now. We're not. You can't rest on your laurels at this point. 10 games left in the season, Joe Shasky. This is a nut up or shut up time, if you will. Shout out Zombieland and Woody Harrelson. Let's get some of these calls in. One more call before getting to Anthony Slater on the other side. Tim's in Raleigh. We love Tim in Raleigh, North Carolina. What's up, Tim? What you got on that loss last night?
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, Shasky, I know you, Bonte, I think Guru, you guys are probably, and Spadoni, I'm only saying that because you kind of been on a couple of months now, but sure. For the last couple of years, you guys have been the ones to question why our coach does not coach to the talent that he has, but tries to force things down people's throat. You have been the only ones. We got a weekly show that comes on with this coach, and he has never been asked, hey, have we ever thought about, you know, running some things to maximize the talent on the team? It could be done professionally, but it's never been asked. And guys, Craig, I love what Craig said earlier. Anybody thinking Kuminga, I mean, listen, Mike Dunleavy was on 2 weeks ago with Tim Kawakami and specifically said for us to reach our ceiling, how excited they were to have Kuminga coming back to reach their ceiling if he's playing at a maximum level. I mean, this was the GM. Your owner, they were sitting courtside looking at this nonsense last night. I believe everybody believes that except the head coach. I don't think he necessarily believes he needs to have them performing well to reach their ceiling for whatever reason. And I think what we're going to see, you know, it's coming to an end. You know, all of the Kuminga nonsense and haters, you're going to be very happy because in about 11 games or through the playoffs, it's coming to an end. The young man is going to finally go somewhere where people probably want him, and he's going to be able to be maximized. And I think we got to just accept that. And but Shasky, you guys have been the only ones to ever ask, why does he not adjust to the talent on the team versus making people play to his role? Guys, when did you see a Kuminga QP pick and roll last night
not
to get
once.
The big man out of the lane
nope.
to open it up? When did you see a Jimmy? When did you see a Jimmy QP pick and roll? The starting lineup you guys were just thinking about. Imagine a Steph QP starting lineup, two knockdown shooters, a Jimmy JK, two wings that could play mid range yep. and to the rim, and then a Draymond do it all player that can give you everything. It takes me in North Carolina to think about how lethal I can be and the best that I can run. And the tests that I can run to make that happen, guys, you're $17 million a year, like the caller just said, and you have never seen him make adjustments. He made it for Jimmy, and he made it for JK before JK got hurt. He was completely empowered, and was playing to his ceiling. And that's why Dunleavy was excited to see him come back. Kuminga has been neutered, man. He's neutered.
Hey, Tim, we're up against it. I appreciate you calling in. 888-957-9570. Samita, Steven, AJ, we'll get to you on the other side. We'll try to stagger Anthony Slater for a couple minutes, but we are going to be joined by Anthony Slater, who covers the team for The Athletic and for 95.7 The Game. He was in Miami. I want to kind of get a lay of the land of the atmosphere prior to the game with the video introduction. It was a big game for Jimmy Butler, and he came up small. I want to ask his thoughts on the secondary scoring without Stephen Curry. It's concerning even when Steph does come back, and hopefully he does come back this Friday against the New Orleans Pelicans. That's all coming up next, and it's going to be brought to you by Safeway. 112-86, the final. It was a humbling, Joe Shasky, to say the least. These first two games of this road trip, I think that's the word I keep coming back to. They've been humbled without Stephen Curry. Kendrick Lamar.
There's no doubt they have, and it's just interesting to me, like, when I see Warriors fans discussing what's going on with this team, we nitpick these, like, fringe guys, and we are afraid to analyze the expensive stars on this team who should be playing better basketball. Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green.
There you go.
It starts with them. You know, we're like, hey, why'd you get divorced? I didn't fold the laundry. I don't think it was the laundry. That's the equivalent of arguing about Jonathan Kuminga or GP2's minutes or Quinn Post's minutes.
Yeah.
Now, those are side parts. Those are things that aggravate you. But they're not the main reason why you're getting in a divorce.
No, you're telling me. We got Anthony. You're good. Anthony Slater on the line, joining us on the River Islands guest line. That's all guests on 95.7 The Game up here on the River Islands guest line. It's okay. You got to laugh through the pain. Is it time for you to discover the islands, Joe Shasky? River Islands in Lathrop. You hate to go Hawaiian and bring up the punch, right?
I did.
We're going Miami. Anthony Slater joining us now. Anthony, good morning to you. What a game yesterday, and all the wrong reasons for the Golden State Warriors. Take me through the atmosphere, if you will, leading up to that game. There was a lot of chirping. I don't know if you saw Taylor Rooks reporting, and maybe you heard Jimmy say this, I'm not sure, but Taylor Rooks of TNT saying, quote, Jimmy Butler saying, quote, I should say, I have nothing to say to Pat Riley, and Pat better have nothing to say to me. Clearly a lot of animosity there. Clearly a difficult breakup. It was chronicled on ESPN and all the national media outlets for the last 6-plus months. What was the atmosphere like? The video celebration, all of it baked into the what was supposed to be a revenge game for Jimmy Butler, but it was a revenge game for the Miami Heat. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. How are y'all? Yeah, I mean, it was, like, icy, but it wasn't that, like, volatile or, you know, you talk to Warriors people, you know, prior to the game in the lead-up and certainly after the game, it was, like, somebody told me it was, like, 5% of Durant back to OKC, maybe less. I mean, it wasn't volatile at all. I mean, like, Jimmy Butler just barely talked to anybody, and they, you know, acknowledge his existence with a pregame video when half the arena was filled because that's Miami. As Steve Kerr said postgame, it's never a rabid environment in Miami. It was some cheers, some boos. It felt like I went to the De'Aaron Fox return game in Sacramento a few weeks ago. That was more lit up as an environment, you know, a kind of a fiercer welcoming for De'Aaron Fox. So you can feel, especially if you're around. Obviously, I sat down with Jimmy Butler last week for a long conversation. Like, I know some of like the deep, dense history that's under the surface here that has made it so. Neither side is feeling good about each other right now, but you didn't really feel it that much as far as from an event standpoint last night.
Why was he so passive? Like, just in general, he didn't put his imprint on the game. And considering that Steph's out, and I've got a combination that we'll get to in a second, but I wanted more from him. Why was he so passive?
I mean, he's kind of is passive at times, you know, and they have no, especially early in his tenure, we're kind of pushing him when Steph Curry's not on the floor to shoot more, but you're kind of seeing regular season Jimmy Butler a little bit. I mean, it's in and out, but you know, the Heat are really long. They played Bam and Khalil Ware for a lot of the minutes last night. At times Jimmy Butler can struggle to finish against length. I think that might've been a little bit part of it. You saw him get a shot block, right? Khalil Ware pinned him off the glass. But if you were to, if I was to still, you know, kind of, I guess, detail my skepticism about this team that goes to even some of their losses, the one they had in Dallas the first time they had Jimmy, it's their inability as a team to finish at the rim over length. It's why I still believe Jonathan Kuminga is going to matter against the better defenses in this league, because it's something, you know, he's struggled a little bit with it when he comes back, but at least he tries to go finish at the rim. He'll muscle his way to the line, and Jimmy will do that with his power moves. But I think part of the reason he didn't shoot a ton last night is because he was just having struggle, like, you know, getting separation in traffic and believing he could finish over that length.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because like, Ware was guarding him to start the game, and he was, you know, basically sagging off him. And then you saw obviously Draymond being guarded by Bam, and he was sagging off him. And then they switched a little, and Ware was guarding Jimmy, and Bam guarded Jimmy. But essentially, three times in this game, you had the GP2 Draymond Butler combinations out there. And there was three non-shooters, and they said, we will dare anyone to shoot from the outside. And the Warriors just were pathetic offensively to start the game, the end of the beginning of the second quarter, and the beginning of the fourth quarter. Those combinations did not work. Do you think they go back to that if Steph is out for another game or two?
I would probably guess you either see Quentin Post, maybe Jonathan Kuminga, but probably Quentin Post, because you mentioned the shooting aspect of it, you know, against the Pelicans. I don't know that, but, you know, they need Moses Moody to hit shots, right? I mean, if he's going to be the shooter, he can't go 0-9.
The Wiggins matchup was bad for him. Wiggins had him yesterday.
Yeah, and Wiggins was, you know, fired up for that game. I thought he played really well, especially defensively. But this is kind of, like, their issue, right? They have spacing issues. It's part of why it's been tougher to fit Jonathan Kuminga back in, because of, you know, the skill level that they do need is like a downhill finisher. It still adds another, you know, shooter. I mean, he'll take the three, but defenses are going to sag off of him. And, you know, what's Jimmy? I'm trying to look right now. What's Jimmy Butler from three since he's joined the Warriors? 10 of 44. 22.7%.
That good? Wow.
Yeah. And again, people will tell you, like, look at his playoff history from three, right? When he slayed that Bucks team, that 8-1 Bucks matchup a few years ago, he just suddenly got really hot from three in that series. He hit like five threes in that big game in that series. So it can happen. Draymond Green obviously has had some hot three nights, but the reality is, big, long, smart veteran defenses with coaches like Eric Spoelstra are going to dare them to beat them from three. And if Steph Curry's not out there, I don't know how they're going to necessarily do that.
Anthony Slater joining Spadoni and Shasky in the Morning Roast here, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. Anthony Slater covers the Golden State Warriors for The Athletic and right here on 95.7 The Game. And Anthony, real quick, if you were to rank the last three losses, or just give me which one do you think was the worst given the circumstances? I know Steph has been out the last two games, but given the loss to the Nuggets with no Murray, no Jokic, that one in Atlanta where they dropped 40 on you in the first quarter, and then yesterday, what was supposed to be a revenge game, everyone was talking about it, a big Jimmy Butler return to Miami, and it was just a big stinker losing by, how many lost, 26 points, whatever it was. Of those three losses, which would you say was the worst?
I think yesterday, because of the morale standpoint of, like, you know, I remember covering that Durant team, that first Durant team, which was always the happiest version of the three. And the way that they went into Oklahoma City, backed KD and, like, stomped out the Thunder and then wore the cupcake shirts in postgame. Like, that was, like, a galvanizing moment for that team. And again, I don't, like, last night was not that, but it did feel like a moment, like, you know, in this Jimmy Butler era that has gotten off to such a great start, to really kind of come together behind Jimmy Butler. And you would have assumed Jimmy Butler, you know, having a larger imprint on the game and win that game. And it's part of why Steph was really pushing to get back. But then you started hearing middle of the day yesterday, hey, like, sounds like Steph might not be able to go. And I think that probably took a little bit of wind out of their sails. And then, you know, Miami came out and gave it to him. So I feel worst of the three about that loss. And then I would say the Denver one, just considering who didn't play for the Nuggets and it was at home. The Atlanta one, I don't know. You kind of saw that coming. Cross-country flight. Atlanta, I think, hadn't played, like, in 4 days. They were super rested. They'd been playing well. They just came out and hit them in the mouth. That would be the third of the three, I guess.
All right, so these big athletic players over the last couple of weeks have just destroyed them. Karl Anthony Towns, Aaron Gordon, Scotty Barnes, Okongwu, Adebayo, Bam Adebayo was awesome. Cat was awesome. I thought Draymond got destroyed by him yesterday. Just destroyed by him. What is their in-season answer for these big athletic bigs who eat glass on the offensive side of the ball?
I would say number one, like, just, you know, Draymond, he's trying to hunt down this Defensive Player of the Year trophy. Like, he's just, you know, got to be better in these matches, right? Look what they did to Giannis. You didn't mention him within there, and that's for a reason,
sure.
Right? Draymond was awesome that night on Giannis. So, you know, he's got to play those matchups better, and you got to assume we're really talking about the playoffs, you know, depending on who they face. Like, he's got to win that matchup. You know, Butler, I think, up in his defensive assignments at times, and then, you know, it's, again, like, I understand Kuminga's flaws at times and kind of the awkward fit, but when you talk about needing to match athleticism for athleticism, that is the best athlete on the team by far.
Why didn't Butler go up against Wiggins yesterday to start the game? I found that odd.
Well, they went small, right? You know, and if you're going against Bam, Khalil, where, and also, like, Wiggins, the Warriors know this, Wiggins is not trying to, like, Wiggins didn't take over offensively yesterday. I thought he did all the glue stuff well. He defended well. I think he had 14, 5, and 5. To me, like, their inability to contain Wiggins wasn't the problem offensively. I think typically they found you want Butler roaming, right? I mean, like, he's a little like Draymond in that sense, although Draymond will take those individual matchups. But, you know, he's more destructive as a free safety away from the play. And Butler really is, you know, he tries to get those sneaky steals and come over and help side. And he sees mistakes. I've seen, and you saw it yesterday. Tyler Hero was coming off something. Mm-hmm. And he saw Hero was, like, already breaking free for a three, like, way before I was, like, the play had materialized. And he got out there and kind of stopped the three. Again, that didn't matter in the context of a blowout. But I think, part of to your question, I just think, particularly at this stage of his career, he's better served as a help side, kind of wrecking havoc than, like, your individual stopper.
Anthony Slater joining us here on the Morning Roast. And Anthony, a big topic of conversation from the callers, from Joe Shasky this morning, has been Brandon Podziemski. Obviously, he led the team yesterday in field goal attempts. He was 6 of 16 overall. Wasn't a great shooting night for him, struggling to find it from beyond the arc. Really, everyone was, outside of Gui Santos. 2 of 6 for him there, 14 points overall. 30 minutes also led the team, obviously, in total minutes. And he's been one of the leaders of the team in total minutes for a very long time now, Anthony. And I guess my question is, just on behalf of the callers and listeners, the infatuation that Steve Kerr has with Brandon Podziemski is what?
I mean, historically, he's won in his lineups. We know this. He was the best plus-minus guy on the team last year. Every lineup he was in basically worked, you know, and he had a great rookie year. We all know that. Obviously, this year, I would say Steve did go away from him. He was starting melting over him. He was minimizing Podziemski early in the season. I think that partly led to the spiral, and Podziemski did not play well, which all sides will admit. And then he came off the injury, and he did look great. And I, you know, at one point during right when Butler got here, that I think they were like 9-1 in a 10-game stretch. Podziemski was something like +109 in that stretch, and I don't know if it's still the case. You guys could look it up, but he was once again leading their team in plus minus. I know that's not a stat every fan loves to track, but to answer your question, like historically lineup data and Steve Kerr and that coaching staff uses it, says that Pajemski, you know, helps bump them towards winning. I think he's had a really good last few months. He has not necessarily, had a lot, really since he's come back from the back injury, he's been okay last night, just wasn't shooting it. Sometimes he gets overly aggressive. Sometimes you could say he gets a little thirsty when Steph Curry's out. But the other thing about last night, if you're not playing Pajemski, like, who's your point guard out there?
Draymond. I mean,
are you going more,
Draymond,
are you
Jimmy
going
Butler.
More past, that's okay. I mean, that's still like, like those lineups, combinations are not. I mean, this is the problem. Like Steph, like without Steph Curry, they're a deeply flawed team.
Of course,
Yeah. And it's like it's not even just the last two games. Without a really good Steph Curry, they're flawed. Where you can go back now four or five games where he didn't play that well against Toronto and before he got hurt, or he played very poorly in the Denver game. Right, that's why he rested. So really, the last six games, you haven't had like a. Charged up Steph Curry, and everybody wants to talk about how great they looked on that past East Coast road trip. Well, that's just because Steph Curry was just lighting up the world on that trip, right? How poorly did they play in Orlando? They won because Steph Curry had like 56 points or whatever like that. They still collectively as a team played really poorly around him. So I know that's a long-winded answer for we were talking about Pajemski, but I think part of the reason he's playing more last night is like at least Steve Kerr believes like, you know, you need – somewhat of a more of a ball handler playmaker on the floor, and without Steph, he goes to Pajemski a lot.
I understand that. I get where you're coming from. I thought yesterday he was terrible, quite frankly, and a minute of Pat Spencer's not going to kill this team, just to get a look and see where we're at. What do they end up doing here with Jonathan Kuminga? Because every single game, it feels like, you know, the Warriors have a gunshot wound, and the paper cut that is Jonathan Kuminga is the one that all the fans want to discuss and argue about in the comment section. My big takeaway was not Jonathan Kuminga from that game. It was Draymond, and it was Jimmy Butler, and how poorly the team played as a whole. But where does that leave Jonathan Kuminga right now, whether Steph returns or not? What do you see from him moving forward here?
Led him in scoring last night, by the way. 15 was the team's leading scorer. Yeah, I know. I think he's trying to muscle his way back into the rotation. He's in his stints, he's probably got to come out like harder defensively, harder crashing the glass. I do think it's being underrated how much he's still like really trying to like gain full trust and rhythm on that ankle. You know, I would say prior to his injury, if you go watch those games, it was like really powerful to the rim, like really attacking the offensive glass. You're not seeing that as much. To me, he's like kind of cruising around the court a little bit more. And I think some of that's the ankle, but I think, you know, some of that is, you know, a younger player who comes back in, you know, not wanting to disrupt stuff, number one, and number two, not maybe feeling like the full trust level of the coaching staff that, you know, believes in him long-term. But like that doesn't necessarily really matter. If he's going to try to, you know, regain a 28 minute per night role, he's got to come out and just make stuff happen and make stuff happen in more role type ways, which, you know, again, we know he views himself long-term more as like, you know, a primary creator and that the efficiency level there hasn't been terrific for his career at this point. But to me, again, I mean, I'll continue to mention it. Some of the stuff he does well is some of the stuff this team is going to need against deeper playoff teams, and they're going to have to find a way to better maximize his skill set and hide his flaws, because if you just have him sitting over there on the stationary bike upset because, you know, he's getting 12 minutes and barely playing, to me, you are not utilizing a weapon that is going to be very necessary to get past the first round, second round, third round.
All right, Anthony. 10 games to go. I'm looking at this schedule right now. Pelicans, Spurs, Grizzlies, Lakers to wrap up this road trip. Fast forwarding all the way to April 13th, it's listed as a 12:30 start between the Clippers and Warriors. Yeah. Right now, as we speak, the Clippers are a half game back. If they win tonight in New York City against the Knicks, they, by virtue of a tiebreaker, are going to be ahead of the Warriors and be at that sixth spot, and the Warriors will be pushed back to the seventh. I say all that to say this. Is it going to come down to that last game of the season to find out whether this Warriors team is a play-in or a playoff team?
Yeah, I think it's very possible. And I mean, you mentioned the tiebreaker already being clinched by the Clippers. That's huge. The Warriors have to be two games away, right? You know, you need a two-game separation heading into that last game for it not to matter. And if you're tied with the Clippers, or I mean, I should say if you're one game back of the Clippers, it wouldn't even matter if you beat them to tie, because they would have it. So, I mean, yeah, I would probably lean yes, because I don't think the Warriors are about to rattle off, you know, 8 out of 9 right here leading into that game. I'd say, you know, at Memphis, at the Lakers, and then you didn't even mention, they go right home after a two-week road trip and play a back-to-back at home against the Nuggets team who historically lately has been destroying them. So I think they got some losses ahead of them, but not, you know, again, Clippers are flawed. They probably have some losses. Same with the Timberwolves. Memphis above them. That Memphis game on this road trip's huge because the tiebreaker's on the line in their matchup, and the Grizzlies have not been playing well. So there's a lot to be figured out, but yes, I think it's very possible that you know, it could be basically a play-in preview type game on the last day of the regular season where winning you escape the play-in, losing you're in the play-in.
Hey, Anthony, appreciate it. A hell of an article you had chronicling all of the Jimmy Butler, you know, him coming to the Warriors, all that stuff that went on in Miami, Steph Curry's reaction, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr. Hell of a job you're doing. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, fellas.
Thank you, buddy.
That is Anthony Slater, who, again, joins us on the River Islands Guest Line each and every week. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Joe Shasky. You're just looking at me, shaking your head. And again, like, the Brandon Pajemski aspect, and a lot of fans have been called this morning, and Samita, Steve, and AJ, I'll get to you all in a second. Appreciate you hanging on and hanging tight there. 888-957-9570. The phone lines are open. We are guest-free the rest of the way. You are our guests. Call or text. It's the same number to call or text, 888-957-9570. But the Brandon Pajemski aspect and everything. Listen, in a game like yesterday, I'm not coming at Pods. I'm not coming at Kuminga. I'm coming at the leaders of the team, so-called leaders of the team. We're calling them out today. It's the Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and their performances were just unacceptable yesterday. And I guess where I had a hard time was when I was listening to Anthony there. And I get it. It's really easy to just say, well, you know, playoff Jimmy, come playoff time. Like, can we just be relying on that this whole time? Like, oh, we'll just wait for playoff Jimmy to happen. I don't think we're going to see the playoff Jimmy that we saw in Miami. That's Miami Jimmy. Like, this is a new team, a new outlook, and an unselfish Jimmy Butler that I think is here to stay, and I don't think it's good enough come playoff time. I just don't. I don't. So I was a little taken aback there, and Anthony was just like, yeah, you know, it's just, he's been passive. It's like, yeah, he can't be passive, though. Like, 10 games to go, and Anthony thinks it's going to come down to that last game against the Clippers, taking on the Warriors at Chase Center.
Playoffs?
I know. We're talking play-ins. We don't even talk about playoffs.
Plus minus.
I know.
Plus minus has become the new war.
I know.
Like, you know how baseball was obsessed with war?
Wins above replacement.
Okay. Like,
tells the totality of a player, offensive and defense. It tries to paint a whole picture.
Sure.
And I remember Dave Fleming was on with us last year, Joe Shasky, talking about the war of Matt Chapman. If you look at Matt Chapman's war at the end of his career, you can make the argument he's a Hall of Famer. I was like, okay.
Well, that's kind of, okay, the way you just reacted is the way I react with, like, Pajemski. Like,
yeah. And no, that's why I said it. Yeah.
He might have a really nice plus minus that they cling to. And
no, the team has a really good plus minus. Okay. That's why I said it's a team stat.
He plays
for
a lot of overlapping minutes with Steph Curry, who has the best plus minus on the team. All right? Like, that matters, you know? Like, it just does. Trust me, I've seen in this market certain people work alongside legendary superstar radio hosts, and they're like, we won again. It's like, no, he won again, and you happen to be in the driver's seat. You know, like, give me a break. So, like, Pajemski's a solid player. He is. If you need a 2-minute dissertation breaking down what he does, it's like, bro, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is pretty sweet. It's pretty obvious, right? You know what I mean? Like, Andre.
That's an unfair comparison, but I hear you.
Did we ever make the... Okay, let me go Andre Iguodala.
Okay.
Did we ever sit here as a fan base or as a media and be like, oh, you just have to look at Andre Iguodala's plus minus? No, like, we knew what he was bringing to the table. It was pretty obvious. Great passer, great defender, understood tempo, knew how to get stops, got guys spots when they got the ball to them on spots where they needed it, took big shots, was clutch. There's not a metric that could measure the importance that he meant to the team. Pods is a good player. He's solid. But you're selling me on, again, filet mignon when I'm sitting here telling you, no.
Flank steak.
It's not bologna.
Flank steak.
But it's definitely not, you know, filet mignon. It's more top round.
Okay.
Okay. More butterball steak than you want to admit. And so, like, Paz is a solid player. He's a really nice player. My God, the level of shots he's allowed to miss in the half court over and over and over and over again. Again, he's shooting 34% from three. Jonathan Kuminga's shooting 33% from three. I don't really want either of them shooting threes. You could tell me Pods, by the numbers, is shooting a clip that's worthy to shoot. I'm telling you by the eyeballs. Every shot he misses right now on his little current funk, it feels like the weight is bigger. It's like, and it's like...
Kind of like we were talking with Harrison Barnes earlier in the week, where he was on that run where it's just like he just couldn't hit anything. It just got worse and worse and worse.
And not to that level. Plus Barnes doesn't tell me. Yeah. You know, plus, how many times the collective four others on the defensive side have to play scramble mode in the half court because he gets cooked at the top of the key?
Yeah, but he draws charges.
You know what's the worst thing is when you're playing off ball and you're like, dude, I basically have to guard three guys right now because I know you can't guard at the top of the key, right? That's a big problem when you've played real five-on-five basketball and you understand that. And that's not going to show up in the metrics. But you know where it shows up? In the film study, when you rewatch the game.
Oh, it'll show up in playoff time or playing time, too. He'll be very isolated
watch
on that.
Draymond's reactions to Pajemski at the top of the key. What Chasky, are you doing?
Chasky, do you know what Draymond's plus-minus was when he had 23 points the other night?
What was it?
-7.
I'm not saying that the statistic is not, you know, a good tool to use from time to time.
It's like any statistic.
But we turned it into the end-all, be-all.
Yeah.
You know what I heard? And this was, I'm going to give you a great Bob Costas
Please.
Line.
We'll get to the phone lines after it.
A great statistic should help illuminate something. Instead, a great statistic is used not to illuminate like a light pole, but to hold up a drunk like a light pole does, because it carries the entire argument.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the most eloquent way I've ever seen it. I'm sick of hearing about plus minus. Watch the games.
Steven in Oakland definitely watches the games. He wants to join in the conversation. He's been very patient. AJ and Smita will get to you as well. Steven, what you got on the loss last night as the Warriors fall in Jimmy Butler's return to Miami, 112-86?
Like I told you guys, we are what our record says we are. We're six. We need to stop mentioning anything about title contention, and we're in playoff contention right now. Mm-hmm. I want to focus on Pods, and then I'll tell you about what the starting lineup should have been. So Pods was -4, and he had the best plus minus of second best plus minus of anyone on the team over 10 minutes. I think the best was Santos. But that doesn't mean anything. Like, exactly. Plus minus is for people that don't understand ball. I'm sorry.
Steven, when you get blown out by 26, none of that means
anything. I totally agree.
Yes. Keep cooking.